I wonder if we realize the awesomeness of being in the presence of God.
Amen.
Whether we feel the presence of God or not, He's here. There's angels in this place. One of the most incredible experiences I've ever had in the Lord was 4 years ago on New Year's Eve when an angel stood in that door during the preaching of the word. I still have the picture of the angel. Now, he didn't have to do that in order to elevate my faith. But every once in a while, he'll do something for us to show us the reality of God. Heaven in this place. Amen. Good to see Brother Fitch back in the house of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. And good to see everybody here. Something's happening with this world. I was talking to Brother Bear earlier, and I don't know how many, perhaps hundreds of times, we went into the prison on a Saturday night, and there were several hundred men there worshiping God, and some got the Holy Ghost in those services. We had a whole group of musicians that have gone in with us, and they did away with all of that. No more services, little Bible studies here and there. But you can see there's a dumbing down, that God just, well, it doesn't seem to be as important anymore. And we can't allow that to happen to us. Amen. We should be running faster at the end than we were at the beginning. Amen. So, if you would turn to Luke, the 8th chapter. Verse 17. Jesus says, "For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest or apparent, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad." So there's nothing God keeps from us, and nothing can be done in secret. And then if you'll find your way to Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse number 13, says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest or apparent in His sight." He sees everything that we do. In the dark, in the middle of the night, when you're at work, when you're at play. It says, "But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." So God sees it. I remember my grandmother saying, "God's watching you, Jim," you know. And I thought, really? No, He's watching you. Amen. Well, only when I'm in church. No, He's watching you all of the time. And He rewards based on what He sees. Lord, bless your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There's a song that narrates this scripture. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout, I'm telling you why. Jesus Christ is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He sees you when you're awake. He knows you've been bad or good, so... Jesus is coming, not to town, but He's coming in the clouds. Amen. He's not limited to a city. He's not limited to a pew, because He lives inside of you. Now, the premise of the song is someone is watching you all of the time, and if you're not good, you ain't getting no presents. And I wonder that song, if it was really talking about God, but we're substituting a fictitious character, you see. Since James 1 and 17 tells us every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Then the narrative of the song is right. God's gifts to us is predicated or based on our living right for Him. That's what the song says. If we will admit it, we ask God for all kinds of things during the year. Some we receive, some we don't, and it's all for our benefit, whether we get things or we don't get things, you know. Your kids are asking for something, and sometimes you give it to them and sometimes you don't, based on what you know would be best for them. If you'll turn to Numbers, the 18th chapter, starting in verse number 8, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Aaron, Behold, I also have given thee the charge of my heave offering of all of the hallowed things of the children of Israel. Unto thee have I given them by reason of the anointing, and to thy sons by an ordinance forever. This shall be thine of the most holy things reserved from the fire and oblation of their every meat offering of theirs, and every sin offering of theirs, and every trespass offering of theirs, which they shall render unto me, shall be most holy for thee and for thy sons. In the most holy place shalt thou eat it, every male shall eat it, it shall be holy unto thee. And this is thine, the heave offering of their gift, with all of the wave offerings and the children of Israel, I have given them unto thee and to thy sons and thy daughters with thee by statute forever. Every one that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. All of the best of the oil and all of the best of the wine and of the wheat and the first fruits of them which they shall offer unto the Lord, them have I given thee. And whatsoever is first ripe in the land, which they shall bring unto the Lord, shall be thine. Every one that is clean in the house shall eat of it." And then if you go down to verse 31, it says, "And ye shall eat it in every place, and ye and your household, for it is your reward or present for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation." I'm giving you all of these things because of the anointing, or because you are filled with the Spirit of God, and it is your reward for your service to me within the tabernacle and the congregation. For it is your reward for service. The reward or gift was because of our service, our faithfulness, our giving, our witnessing, living for God when it's not easy to live for God. Verse 8 says, "I have given thee the charge of my heave offering." And the word heave offering means the present of all of the hallowed things. Why? By the reason of the anointing. He just doesn't give those presents. Did you buy any presents for the neighbor's kids? But what he's saying is, because you're mine, because of the anointing, because we are filled with the Holy Ghost, we get the presence of the hallowed things. Not the trivial things, but the most exciting, the most important, the most sought after in heaven. We have access to God's gift by reason of the anointing. Verse 13 says, "It shall be thine, every one that is clean in thine house shall eat of it." So there's some prerequisites for getting what God wants to give us, that we have to have the right service and do right. Every day is Christmas with God. Every day. According to Numbers 18 and 8, God has given us the presence of all of the hallowed things, or the sacred things, the gifts of the Spirit, miracles, healings, faith, tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the fruit of the Spirit, peace, joy, love, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, and temperance. All of these things are literally gifts, because against it there is no such law, something that can't be taken away from us because we are His children. We are the anointed. These are the real gifts that are distributed every day by God to each and every one of us. A word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, of understanding, enough faith to see the miracles happen. Now, not everyone has access to the gifts or the presence, but by reason of the anointing, we own them when we were filled with the Holy Ghost. There's something more than just, well, we spoke in tongues, something more than just we were baptized in Jesus' name. We belong to Him, and because of that, we have privileges that nobody else on the face of the earth. We're a privileged people. Yes. Psalm 68 and 19 says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." You see, God is blessed, or He's very happy in order to give us gifts. Now, when you become an adult, and some of you will be one day, you are more excited about giving presents than getting presents. And I see our God so excited in order to give us those things that He's already paid for. He's so excited to heal somebody. He's so excited to help you financially. He's so excited to give you peace in the middle of a storm. He wants to give you those things because He's excited about it, you see? When we can be rewarded for our service, we have our own concept of what God should give us, just like our kids have their own concept about what's important, you know. It used to be those plastic things. And then as you get older, they become more expensive. And, well, we ask God for trivial things when He has already given us access to the most important things. In fact, you know, I feel even guilty ever asking God for anything more than what He's already given me. God is all about rewarding us for service, not the way the world thinks about rewards. If you'll turn to Matthew, the 6th chapter, starting in verse number 1. This 6th chapter of Matthew is so incredible. It's so packed full of so incredible things. Verse number 1 says, "Take heed that ye do not your alms," or the benefits, or the things that we know God requires of us before men, "to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest," and the word there is worship, "when thou worship, thou shalt not be as a hypocrite are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they've got their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So God is saying, you know, this relationship is between you and me. You know, I don't have to flaunt who I am or what I do. In fact, you'd be better off getting in a closet and just worshiping God by yourself, you see. It makes sense. And there are certain things that we have to overcome in the flesh God said to Saul, when thou wast little in thy own sight, I made you king. When we ever get to the place where we think we're somebody, God's saying, okay, give me back what I gave you. You see, God has asked us to refrain from a display of the flesh if we are to get his rewards or his presence. God's rewards don't always come easy. We must do that which is contrary to what we feel in the flesh. Give up our rights for his. We had a business many, many years ago, and something happened in the business, and I was sued, and I had to go into court, and we were first asked to go into the judge's chambers and discuss the case, and there was no real issue that I should be sued. And I remember as I walked into that room, I had already planned what I was going to say, and God said, don't say a word. I'm going to take care of you, you see. And I had to suppress the things that I wanted to say. And ever since then, I've had to suppress a lot of things that I want to say in my defense, because if I take up my cause, then God can't take up my cause. If you'll turn to Luke chapter 6 and verse 27. Jesus said, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemy, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do also unto them likewise. This is the golden rule, if you will. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. Your reward, your present shall be great. I like that part. And you shall be the children of the highest. I like that part. For he is kind unto the unthankful. And to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, shall men, not people in the church, just arbitrarily, men, give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured unto you again. Amen. I especially like that part, your reward shall be great. That other stuff is really against my nature and yours. Love your enemy, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you, let them take your coat and your car, your house, and turn the other cheek. My flesh doesn't like that stuff. So, how badly do you want your present, your reward? You see, God has set up an incentive program for us. You know? A reward system for us to do that which is unnatural for us. It's sort of a free enterprise system in which we can receive as much reward as we want based on not catering to this flesh, but doing what God's word says. But only if we do what God's word says. Like in Numbers 18 and 13, it says, "Everyone that is clean in the house shall eat of it." I have to be very careful that I don't prevent God from not giving me things, you see. You know, as a pastor, I'm charged with motivating people and perfecting the saints, like it says in Ephesians 4. But naturally, people don't want to be perfected to what God's word says. There are several ways to motivate people. One is a very popular choice, threatening people, yelling very loud. But that doesn't seem to work very well. It doesn't work with our kids. It doesn't work with people. This will almost always get immediate reaction and cause people to do exactly opposite of what you're asking them to do. God knows we all need motivation. What is right to do what is right in the sight of God. So God motivates us by sometimes how we motivate other people. Now, if you'll do this, then I will give you this. You know? You better watch out. You better not cry. God knows we all need that motivation. Turn to Hebrews, if you will. Chapter 11, very familiar scripture. Verse number 6. "But without faith or faithfulness, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." The word reward in the Greek means pay for service or wages. God has a paycheck for those who are faithful. God has a reward for those who are faithful. Amen. I've had people say that I'm just not coming to church because, well, somebody has offended me. Something didn't go. I don't like the way, and so I'm going to go someplace else. I don't know about you, but on every job I've ever been, there's something I didn't like or someone I didn't like. But at the end of the week, I got a check. And the reason I went there wasn't because of the people that were there. It was because of the reward at the end of the week, you see. And God knows that if we endure some of the things associated with living for God and being a part of the church, I'm telling you, there's always going to be a reward at the end of the day, at the end of the week, at the end of the month, at the end of the year. A special presence of God and a blessing that we didn't even expect. It shows up in a mailbox. It shows up in a healing. It shows up in something that only God can give us. God uses a reward system, a free enterprise of godliness, if you will, in order to motivate us to do what's right. Here it is. Come on. And I think sometimes we're frustrated because we don't get the reward. Frustrated, we don't do, we're not motivated enough because we haven't gotten a check a while. If you'll turn to Psalms. Chapter 18. Verse 20. "The Lord rewarded me according to my," wait a minute, "righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me." See, it's not worth it to carry a grudge or not do what's right because we just hurt ourselves in that he can't reward us. One of the greatest reasons for people not continuing to live for God is because they haven't been getting a paycheck. They haven't been getting the rewards. They're coming to church, they're living for God, but they're not getting what they really need in order to revive them on a regular basis. If we are constantly feeling the presence of God and seeing the hand of God in our everyday life, it's so easy in order to live for God. You wake up in the morning and you feel the Shekinah glory of God. You walk into this church and something's happening to you. You recognize that the word that's going from the pulpit is what you've been thinking about all day long, and there's somebody that asked you about how are you living for God? And you recognize, wow, God is moving in my life, and I can't wait to get to church tonight. You see? Hallelujah. But if we back away from God's righteousness, then the rewards stop. We stop. And it becomes a catch-22 when the paychecks stop. No one wants to go to work anymore or live holy. No presents for you. Everybody else is getting a present. Everybody else seems to be happy with what they got, but I didn't get. Well, why? Is this too hard for Christmas? If you'll go to Matthew, the 19th chapter, verse 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee, and what shall we have therefore? I don't know, did we get a paycheck? And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Wow, that's going to be cool, God. But what about now? And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my namesake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. So God's saying, listen, all of the rewards aren't going to be in heaven. You're going to see rewards right here on earth. Not rewards someday when we get to heaven, not then, but now here on this planet. Here Jesus said we will lose some things for his name's sake. And we don't like that. Sometimes it's impossible to hold on to some things and still hold on to God. And God recognizes that, especially when we first come into the church. But God will never shortchange you. If you lost something because you wanted to do what was right in the sight of God, mark it down. You will receive better and blessed. People have taken from me, but God has always replaced. I invested in a company and they stole $25,000 of mine. And I could have gone the way of, oh, we'll take you to court. I said, God, you know, it wasn't long before that whole company was bankrupt. Joseph told his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You'll never, ever be shortchanged because you did what was right. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I mean, he uses gold for paving material. And you think he can't level the field for you? Job kept his integrity, and God gave him twice what he had lost. But the key was he kept his integrity. Hallelujah. I lost my best friend when I came into the church, the guy who stood up for my wedding, but God has given me hundreds of men who prayed for me and been there for me. Take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 6. Verse number 1, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desired. Wow. Yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity or meaningless, and it is an evil disease. There are some who have everything that you could possibly imagine, and yet they're not happy. If a man beget 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. What's important is being right with God, you see. And then New Testament Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Paul's saying, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. It just didn't come natural, but he learned in whatsoever state I am wherewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my afflictions. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessities, not because I desired a gift, but I desired fruit that may abound to your account. When you give, it comes into your account. But I have all and abound and full have received Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Nobody gets shortchanged, folks, if you're living for God. Revelation 22 and 12 says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Amen. Glory to God. It's not just someday, but it's every day. Every day. He is a rewarder of those that are faithful and diligently seek him. The question is, have you picked up your check this week? Have you gotten what God wants to give us? The gift of God. We are so privileged. We have received so much, so many revelations that I could physically see an angel, that I've been around hundreds of people who have been healed, filled with his spirit, saw things, God speaks to me. I said to my wife before we left the house, I'm just shocked sometimes that God even wants to talk to me, you know? I do my best, but it's not enough. But he's a rewarder. He keeps giving out gifts, giving out gifts, giving out gifts. Amen. God, please give us. Give us those things that you know is best for us. Let us unwrap so many of the things that you put in this book, God. Amen. Would you stand with me? Thank you, Jesus. I wonder how many times over the years I've said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I don't want it to be, just a program. But I want to feel from the bottom of my heart, thank you, thank you, thank you. I thank him every day for my family, for the church. I thank him for my health. Amen. There's an old saying, I pray for people who are sick, but, you know, God's never healed me. But you realize the blessing of just being healthy? Not just because he's healed me, because I don't need a healing. The gifts keep stacking up and stacking up and stacking up. Every once in a while, we need to take an inventory of what he's done for us. And then we'll never have a problem lifting our hands and thanking him for his goodness. Amen. Hallelujah. And tonight's an opportunity to do exactly that. The altar is open.